Hazmat Practice Test 4. Question number 1. A segregation and separation chart indicates products that cannot be loaded together in the same trailer, products requiring special handling, products that can be transported together with radioactive materials, or maximum number of animals that can be loaded on a trailer. The answer is A, products that cannot be loaded together in the same trailer, from 9.4.1 General Loading Requirements Mixed Loads. The rules require some products to be loaded separately. You cannot load them together in the same cargo space. Figure 9.9 lists some examples, the regulations, the segregation table for hazardous materials. Name other materials you must keep apart. Question number 2. A placard cannot be placed closer than 3 inches from any other markings, more than 3 inches from the back of the trailer, more than 3 inches from the bottom of the trailer, or less than 3 inches from the front of the trailer. Answer is A, closer than 3 inches from any other markings. 9.3.10 placarding. Placards must appear on both sides and both ends of the vehicle. Each placard must be, and the third thing is, at least 3 inches away from any other markings. Question number 3. A placard is required for combustible liquid at 110 gallons or more, over 100 gallons, more than 1,001 pounds or more, more than 1,001 pounds, or 110 cubic liters or more. The answer is C, more than 1,001 pounds. In this 9.3.11 placard tables, talks about combustible liquids, and here it's to be found in the placard table number 2, categories of materials that need to be placarded only if they're 1,001 pounds or more. And combustible liquid is listed right here. Question number 4. A properly prepared uniform hazardous waste manifest must be signed and carried by anyone transporting a hazardous waste. Is required only if there is a loss of cargo during transport, is the same as any other shipping paper, is definitely a useless form, and is not required. Correct answer is A, it must be signed and carried by anyone transporting a hazardous waste. 9.3.9, when transporting hazardous wastes, you must sign by hand and carry a uniform hazardous waste manifest. Question number 5. A safe haven is one place you can leave a vehicle unattended that is hauling explosives. What is the best description of a safe haven? Any property that has been government approved for this use, any property that is totally fenced in by an 8-foot fence and has a guard on duty all day long, any property that is totally fenced in by an 8-foot fence, or all of the above. It's A, any property that has been government approved for this use. 9.6.1, parking with division 1.1, 1.2, or 1.3 explosives, you are allowed to leave your vehicle unattended in a safe haven. A safe haven is an approved place for parking unattended vehicles loaded with explosives. Question number 6. A vehicle contains 500 pounds each of explosives 1.1 and 1.3. You must use dangerous placards, explosives 1.1 placards, explosives 1.1, and explosives 1.3 placards, or none of the above. Answer is B, explosives 1.1 placards is all that's required. When more than one division of Class 1 materials are shipped together, only the placard for the lowest division needs to be displayed. This is from 49 CFR 172.504. Also, if you look at this table in 9.3.11 placard tables, you'll find that if your vehicle contains any amount of 1.1 massive explosives, placard as explosives 1.1. This table is not explicit about whether you need both of these, explosives 1.1 and 1.3, but according to the regulations, the federal regulations in 49 CFR 172.504, you only need to placard the lowest division, which is the most dangerous division, which is in this case explosives 1.1. Question number 7. How many different hazard classes are there? 11, 22, 9, or 19? The answer is 9. In 9.3.1, definitions, a materials hazard class reflects the risks associated with it. There are 9 different hazard classes. Question number 8. If an X or RQ is in the HM column of a shipping paper entry, the shipment is regulated by hazardous materials regulations. Entry refers to the materials that must be top-loaded. The material listed on that line is the largest part of the shipment, or the material listed on that line is the smallest part of the shipment. Answers A. Shipment is regulated by hazardous material regulations. In 9.3.8, recognizing hazardous materials, learn to recognize shipments of hazardous materials. To find out if the shipment includes hazardous materials, look at the shipping paper. Does it have a highlighted entry or one with an X or RQ in the hazard materials column? Question number 9. If your vehicle is placarded and you must drive across a railroad crossing, you must shift gears quickly as you're crossing the tracks. Never shift gears while crossing the tracks. Shift gears only if you're sure no train is coming, or all of the above. The answer is B. Never shift gears while crossing tracks. In 9.6.12, stop before railroad crossings. Do not shift gears while crossing the tracks. Question number 10. In column 1, the plus sign means the proper shipping name is in italics. The proper shipping name is invalid. The proper shipping name, whether the material meets the definition of that class or not, or this is not the proper shipping name. The answer is C, the proper shipping name, whether the material meets the definition of that class or not. 9.3.3 lists of regulated products, the hazardous materials table. 6 different symbols may appear in column 1 of the table, and the first one is a plus sign, shows the proper shipping name, hazard class, and packing group to use, even if the material does not meet the hazard class definition. Question number 11. One of these shipping paper descriptions for a hazardous material is in the right order. Which one is it? First one is hydrogen bromide, non-flammable gas, UN 1048. Next, corrosive material, hydrochloric acid, UN 1798. Next is UN 1787, hydriodic acid, corrosive material. And last one, hexane, UN 1208, or flammable liquid. The answer is C, UN 1787, hydriodic acid, corrosive material. The item description, depending on what state you're in, the answer may be shipping name first, in which case the answer is A, which would have been the shipping name first. But in C, you can see the ID number is first, which is correct. See section 9.3.5 in your state manual to see how they have it listed, because there are still a few straggling states that have the proper shipping name first, but that's been changed since 2013. And here in the 9.3.5, the item description, the basic description of hazardous materials includes the identification number, proper shipping name, hazard class or division, and the packing group, if any, in that order. Question number 12. Shipping papers must always be kept in one place when driving with hazardous materials. Wear when wearing your seatbelt. On the driver's seat at all times, within reach at all times, in a pouch on the driver's door, or both B and C. The answer is both B and C, within reach at all times and in a pouch on the driver's door. 9.6.10, where to keep shipping papers and emergency response information. When you are behind the wheel, keep shipping papers within your reach with your seatbelt on or in a pouch on the driver's door. They must be easily seen by someone entering the cab. Question number 13. The hazard class of all materials specifies the order the materials get loaded into your trailer. How much of the material is on your trailer, the risks associated with materials, or the order of the deliveries. The answer is C, the risks associated with materials. 9.3.1 definitions, a materials hazard class reflects the risks associated with it. There are 9 different hazard classes. So it's the hazard class of all materials specifies the risks associated with the materials. Question number 14. The shippers package hazardous materials. They must certify that this was done according to the regulations. The only exception is when the driver is given a sealed cargo compartment, the shipment is a hazardous waste, the shipper is the private carrier carrying his own product, or all of the above? The answer is C, the shipper is a private carrier carrying his or her own product. 9.3.6, shipper's certification. When the shipper packages hazardous materials, he or she certifies that the package has been prepared according to the rules. The only exceptions are when a shipper is a private carrier transporting their own product and when the package is provided by the carrier, for example, a cargo tank. That's why C is correct. Question number 15. The transport index of a radioactive material dictates the maximum speed at which you can transport the material. Is something the dispatcher will tell you on a need-to-know basis, tells the degree of control needed during transportation, or none of the above. It's C, tells the degree of control needed during transportation. 9.4.1, general loading requirements under Class 7 radioactive materials. The transport index tells the degree of control needed during transportation. This concerns, of course, radioactive materials. Question number 16. What placard must be used with an inhalation hazard load? Flammable, dangerous, poison, or all of the above? The answer is C, poison. 9.3.11, placard tables. If the words inhalation hazard are on the shipping paper or package, you must display poison gas or poison inhalation placards in addition to any other placards needed by the product's hazard class. The 1,000-pound exception does not apply to these. Question 17. When a spill occurs of an RQ, or a reportable quantity, substance, the carrier has within how many days or weeks to report the spill? 1 week, 2 weeks, 30 days, or 60 days? The answer is C, 30 days, and 9.7.5, required notification. Be prepared to give your employer the required information as well. Carriers must make detailed written reports within 30 days of an incident. Question number 18. When is it necessary to ground the trailer? Only when filling the trailer with explosives. When filling or unloading any flammable liquid tank, ground must be maintained until filling hole is properly closed. Only when unloading a cargo tank filled with any flammable liquid, or none of the above. The answer is B, when filling or unloading any flammable liquid tank, ground must be maintained until filling hole is properly closed. This is in 9.5.3, flammable liquids. Ground a cargo tank correctly before filling it through an open filling hole. Ground the tank before opening the filling hole and maintain the ground until after closing the filling hole. Number 19. When transporting both hazardous and non-hazardous materials, your bills must describe the hazardous materials last. Have the non-hazardous materials highlighted. Identify the materials by letter X or RQ in the HM column, or make sure that no hazardous materials are highlighted. When transporting both hazardous and non-hazardous materials, your bills must see. Identify the materials by the letters X or RQ in the HM column. From 9.3.5, if a shipping paper describes both hazardous and non-hazardous products, the hazardous materials must be entered first, highlighted by contrasting color, or identified by an X placed before the shipping description. Letters RQ may be used instead of an X if a reportable quantity needs to be identified. That's why identify the materials by letter X or RQ in the HM column is correct. Question number 20. When transporting explosives, you may not park within 500 feet of the traveled part of the road, park within 300 feet of a tunnel, drive through a construction zone, or none of the above. The answer is B, park within 300 feet of a tunnel. In 9.6.1, parking with a division 1.1, 1.2, or 1.3 explosives, park within 300 feet of the tunnel is the correct answer and comes from here, except for short periods of time needing for vehicle operation necessities, for example, fueling. Do not park within 300 feet of a bridge, tunnel, or building, which is there's the tunnel, or a place where people gather or an open fire. Question number 21. Which of the following is a way to decide which placards to use? Materials hazard class, amount of hazardous materials being shipped, total weight of all classes of hazardous materials on your vehicle, or all of the above? The answer is D, all of the above. 9.3.10, placarding. To decide which placards to use, you need to know the hazard class of the materials, which was A, the amount of hazardous materials shipped, which was B, and the total weight of all classes of hazardous materials in your vehicle, which was C. So it's all of the above. Question number 22. Which of the following statements about radioactive labels is true? Yellow 3 indicates the highest level of radioactivity. Yellow 2 indicates the highest level of radioactivity. White 1 indicates the highest level of radioactivity. Or black 3 indicates the highest level of radioactivity. The answer is A. Yellow 3 indicates the highest level of radioactivity. And 9.3.11, seen in this table, if your vehicle contains any amount of, and it has yellow 3, radioactive yellow 3 label only, and you, as you can see here, yellow 3 is the highest level of radioactivity. Question 23. Which of the following, if required, must the shipper put on a package? The required label, the hazardous materials shipping name and identification number, the name and address of shipper or cosignee, or all of the above. It's D, all of the above. In 9.3.7, package markings and labels, when required, the shipper will put the following on the package: the name and address of shipper or cosignee, the hazardous materials shipping name and identification number, or the labels required, which was A, B, and C. Question number 24. Who is responsible for certifying on the bill of lading that the hazardous materials are prepared properly? The driver, the shipper, the carrier, or all of the above? The answer is B, the shipper. 9.3.6, shipper certification. When the shipper packages hazardous materials, he or she certifies that the package has been prepared according to the rules. Question number 25. Who is responsible for checking to be sure the shipper correctly named, labeled, and marked a hazardous materials shipment? The carrier, the driver, the shipper, or both A and B, the carrier and the driver? The answer is D, which is both A and B, the carrier and the driver. 9.2.2, the carrier, and 9.2.3, the driver. In the carrier section, prior to transportation, the carrier checks that the shipper correctly described, marked, labeled, and otherwise prepared the shipment for transportation. And in 9.2.3, the driver makes sure the shipper has identified, marked, and labeled the hazardous materials property. That's why A and B, the carrier and the driver, is correct. Question number 26. Who is responsible for finding out what permits or special routes you will need to haul hazardous materials? The state governor, the driver, the shipper, or the carrier? It's B, the driver. 9.6.5, route restrictions. It is your job as driver to find out if you need permits or must use special routes. Question number 27. You are hauling hazardous materials and you find that one of your tires is leaking. You must stop at the nearest safe place and fix it. Report it to your carrier immediately. Continue at a reduced speed and check the tire every 25 miles, or all of the above are true. The answer is A, stop at the nearest safe place and fix it. In 9.6.9, check tires. Do not drive with a tire that is leaking or flat except to the nearest safe place to fix it. Question number 28. You have loaded a hazardous material into a cargo tank. What must you do before you move the vehicle? Close all manholes and valves. Be sure to free of leaks. Call Chemtrek by phone and tell them where you are going. Have the loading observers sign the shipping papers. Or get started on your trip. Everything's okay. The answer is A. Close all manholes and valves. Be sure they are free of leaks. In 9.5.2, tank loading. In 9.5.2, tank loading, close all manholes and valves before moving a tank of hazardous materials, no matter how small the amount in the tank or how short the distance. Manholes and valves must be closed to prevent leaks. It is illegal to move a cargo tank with open valves or covers unless it is empty, according to Title 49 CFR 173.29. Question number 29. You may not park a vehicle carrying hazardous materials within how many feet of an open fire? 300, 200, 150, or 100? The answer is A, 300. 9.6.1 parking with division 1.1, 1.2, or 1.3 explosives. Do not park within 300 feet of an open fire. Question number 30. You may not park a vehicle carrying hazardous materials within how many feet of an open fire? This is the same question as the previous one, but you have different options. 300 yards, 300 feet, 150 meters, or 1 mile. The answer, if you recall, is B, 300 feet. 9.6.2, parking a placarded vehicle not transporting 1.1, 1.2, or 1.3 explosives. Do not park within 300 feet of an open fire.